Good evening.
Good evening.
Good to have you all here this evening on the eve of Pentecost 18, and a special welcome to guests and visitors. A few announcements that I'd like to highlight for you. First of all, today is Bible Saturday. Hopefully you had a chance to bring your Bible with you to church. If not, it's probably because you've got it all memorized and you're carrying it right here in your heart or on your smartphone, right? Okay, lots of different options, but we're grateful to have Gary Froiland with us, and he'll be sharing a few words tonight about the ministry of the Gideons and providing a gift of music for us as well. Also, we will have a free will offering, and that will go in support of the work of the Gideons. If you place it into an envelope, just write Gideons on the envelope, and if you're making a check out, please make it out to Emmanuel Lutheran, but in the memo part, put down Gideons, so that we know to give it, and then we'll write out one check in its entirety, and we'll have it sent to the Gideons as well. So please take note of that. Also, this coming Wednesday, we have a men's Bible study at 11 a.m. here at the church. Hopefully some of the men can join me. That's always a delightful time. And then the October Emmanuel Epistle Newsletter and Prayer Calendar have been electronically mailed up, but they're available also in the back now in printed format. So please take note of that. That's an opportunity for you not only to stay abreast of what's happening in the life of the congregation, but it's also an opportunity that you say, oh, I want to share this with somebody. So maybe someone is in need of a church home or in need of prayers, and then you can share what's happening here at Emmanuel with them as well. I think those are the announcements that I need to highlight. The others are printed in the bulletin or have been up on the screen, and I encourage you to please take note of those. Our first hymn for tonight is Stand With Me So That We Withstand. Now, it's a new hymn, but it's to the tune of Lord, Keep Us Steadfast in Your Word, the same tune that we will end the service today of worship on. It's based on Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, chapter 6, about putting on the whole armor of God and how important it is for us to pray and to stand together rather than individually. So, if you want to stand and stand with me so that we withstand, we'll sing it together, okay?
Sure.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In the beginning was the Word.
And the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
In the Word was life.
And the life was the light of all people.
The Word became flesh and lived among us.
And we have seen his glory, full of grace and truth.
Word of God, come down on earth. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, your word is our great heritage and shall be ours forever. To spread its light from age to age shall be our chief endeavor. Through life, it guides our way. In death, it is our stay. Lord, grant while time shall last, your church may hold it fast. Throughout all generations. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated and we welcome Gary.
When Jesus was on this earth, some of his followers left him because they couldn't accept his teachings. Jesus asked his 12 disciples, "Will you leave me too?" It was Peter who spoke up and said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Those words of eternal life are what the Gideon organization is all about. To get those words of eternal life into the hands of as many people in the world as possible. We distribute God's word free of charge in 95 languages and in nearly 200 countries of the world. Since our beginning in 1899, we have given out more than 1.9 billion scriptures. And now, in our modern age, the Gideons provide a Bible app for cell phones. One girl who received a Gideon New Testament wrote, quote, "I am a 16-year-old student at Epsom Girls Grammar School in New Zealand. I gave my life to Jesus about a year ago, and I'm fairly sure that it is not a step I would have taken were it not for the New Testament I received from a Gideon. When I received my New Testament, I was defiant of religion and the church. I was told that it was a free book, and I thought that it might prove worth having. I was impressed with its size and the indexing where to find help. I thought I could possibly use it as a resource too. It is uniquely special because I have recorded in it my decision to receive Christ as my personal Savior. Thank you for making God's word available to me." Unquote. In Venezuela, as Gideons were handing out New Testaments, a police officer rode up on a motorcycle and said, "I have something I need to say to you." That's probably not usually what you want to hear from a police officer, but they stopped to listen. The policeman said, "I want to know why it has taken you so long to come back so I can get another New Testament from you." Then he took out a very worn and used testament that he had received years ago and showed it to them. They were happy to give him a new one. He kissed his new copy as he thanked them and then rode away. The cost of a hotel Bible is $5, and the cost of a New Testament is $135. If you would like to help this mission, there are bulletin envelopes probably available here, or I could receive your gift today. 100% of the money goes for the production and distribution of God's word around the world. A girl in Duluth, Minnesota, had a father that traveled a lot and took the family with him. In each hotel room, this little girl ran to the bedstand to see if there was a Gideon Bible in the drawer. Something about a Bible there gave her assurance that they were staying in a good place. Later, she married her high school sweetheart. While they were struggling to maintain finances, a friend offered them $100,000 to make a one-time transaction. They knew the offer, it was selling cocaine. They knew the offer was wrong, but with that money they could build a new house and be out of debt from under their financial burden. The one-time transition became more and more, and finally the couple began using the product. They weren't happy in this situation, and to get a fresh start, they moved to Florida and opened a small pizza shop. But the drug pushers found them, and they were right back doing what they had tried to escape. To get away, she flew to Chicago and spent the entire weekend crying in her hotel room. Then she remembered as a child checking the hotel room drawers for the Bible. She checked the drawer, and there it was, a Gideon Bible. Her taxi was about to come, and she wondered how stealing a Bible from the hotel room would add to her already dire situation. But she took the Bible. On the flight home, she opened the Bible, and God began his work. On that airplane, she gave her heart to the Lord, and also at that very moment, was delivered from the addiction of cocaine without one bit of withdrawal. As Gideons, we are happy when somebody takes a Bible from a hotel room because we believe the promise in Isaiah 55:11 that says, "So shall my word be that goes out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and it shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." You as a church have helped supply those Bibles, and we want to thank you for your support over the years. It's always a joy for me to share these wonderful testimonies, and God's word will continue to accomplish the work he has for it. Thank you. When we think about the Bible, a lot of big share of it is prophecy, isn't it? And I'm going to sing a song called Matthew 24. And you know what? 73 years ago, Israel became a nation. That's the first big end time sign. How about that? And what does Jesus say about that generation in Matthew 24? Have to read that sometime. "I believe the time is coming for the Lord to come again. I believe the end is nearing every door. I believe the good old Bible from beginning to the end. Just compare today with Matthew 24. We are living, surely living in the days he speaks about. All of these we now are having every day. Let's be ready for his coming. Let us meet him with a shout. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. While upon the Mount of Olives, Jesus' disciples came to him, saying, "Tell us when these things are going to be." Jesus answered, "Be ye watching, and each one be free from sin, and take heed no man shall ever you deceive." We are living, surely living, in the days he speaks about. All of these we now are having every day. Let's be ready for his coming, let us meet him with a shout, for he tells us in his word to watch and pray. Many wars will come upon us when the end of time is near. Many earthquakes will be numerous in those days. All of these today we're having, and in Matthew it appears, we must live our lives for him and sing his praise. We are living, surely living, in the days he speaks about. All of these we now are having every day. Let's be ready for his coming, let us meet him with a shout, for he tells us in his word to watch and pray.
Thank you, Gary.
Our first lesson tonight is from Numbers chapter 11, beginning with verse 4. The rabble that was among the Israelites had a strong craving, and the people of Israel also wept again and said, "Oh, that we had meat to eat! We remember the fish we ate in Egypt that cost nothing, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our strength is dried up, and there is nothing at all but this manna to look at." Moses heard the people weeping throughout their clans, everyone at the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord blazed hotly, and Moses was displeased. Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you dealt ill with your servant? And why have I not found favor in your sight that you lay the burden of all this people on me? Did I conceive all this people? Did I give them birth that you should say to me, 'Carry them in your bosom as a nurse carries a nursing child,' to the land that you swore to give their fathers? Where am I to get meat to give to all this people? For they weep before me and say, 'Give us meat that we may eat.' I am not able to carry all this people alone. The burden is too heavy for me. If you will treat me like this, kill me at once. If I find favor in your sight, that I may not see my wretchedness." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Gather for me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them to the tent of meeting, and let them take their stand there with you." So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord. And he gathered 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And as soon as the spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not continue doing it. Now two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad, and the spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent, and so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." And Joshua, the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses from his youth, said, "My Lord Moses, stop them." But Moses said to him, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his spirit on them." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm is Psalm 104, beginning with verse 27. These all look to you to give them their food in due season.
When you give it to them, they gather it up.
When you open your hand, they are filled with good things.
When you hide your face, they are dismayed.
When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust.
When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground.
May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works.
Who looks on the earth and it trembles? Who touches the mountains and they smoke?
I will sing to the Lord as long as I live.
I will sing praise to my God while I have being.
May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord.
Let sinners be consumed from the earth, and let the wicked be no more.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. Our second reading is from James chapter 5, beginning with verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We rise for our Alleluia verse. Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. John said to Jesus, Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us. But Jesus said, Do not stop him, for no one who does a mighty work in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. For the one who is not against us is for us. For truly I say to you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will by no means lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than with 2 feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with 2 eyes to be thrown into hell, where their worm does not die, and the fire is not quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves, and be at peace with one another. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Congregation may be seated. Earlier today, I recorded my children's message. It's called God's Word Says, Pray. The Word of God says, Pray. And on this Bible Saturday, as we celebrate the gift of God's Word, today we are looking at the gift and the proclamation of God's Word when it comes to prayer. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to him in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Oh, because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. God's word, Jesus, the living word of God, God's word says, speaks to us, pray. Who, what, when, where, why, and how. You can listen to the children's message with a little one, and you'll see me reflecting upon those operative questions. But tonight, as we come to the closing of St. James' sermon, his epistle, 108 verses with 54 commands, a commentary, some would say, on his brother Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. You see, James spent time with his brother. James listened to what his brother said. And so James knows how important prayer is. He begins his epistle, as you may recall, chapter 1, by saying, if anyone lacks wisdom, all they need to do is ask. Pray is what he's talking about. If you lack wisdom, then just pray. Ask, and God, who is generous without reproach, will give it to you. But don't be double-minded. Don't do it without faith. Well, in chapter 4, last week's epistle reading, St. James says, you don't have. Why? Well, because you don't ask. You don't pray. And when you do ask, when you do pray, you ask wrongly to satisfy the passions of your flesh. So when it comes to prayer, when it comes to praying, are we asking rightly or wrongly? The disciples heard Jesus talk about prayer. Ask and it will be given, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open. They saw Jesus constantly praying, praying, praying. And so it doesn't surprise us when they say, Jesus, teach us how to pray. And he teaches them the Our Father. He teaches them what we call the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done. Not because we always understand the circumstances of our life, not because we can wrap our heads around it and comprehend why. Why now? Why me? Why someone I love and care about? No, we trust. By faith, we believe that God is working in everything for good. That's why James will end his letter, his sermon, his epistle, with the words you heard today. Pray, 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 pray. He just says it over and over again. Are you suffering? Pray. Are you celebrating the birth of a child, a wedding anniversary, the healing, the miracle? Of God's presence in your life? Have you committed a sin? Confess it. Pray. 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 And then he says, has anyone wandered away from the truth? You know the truth. The way. The life. John 14. That's Jesus. The Word of God. If they've wandered away from the truth, away from the gift of salvation, what do you do about it? Oh, I know. I know what the church does. We form a committee. Let's have an inactive committee. And let's have them go after them. No, James says, what you do is you seek out the one that's lost, that's straying, because they're your brother, they're your sister. And eternal salvation is everything. And pray. James says, you heard these words, you can't miss these words. He says, the prayer of faith will heal, the word is save, salvation, will save the one who is sick. And God will raise them up. That's the word for resurrection, by the way, Easter, you know. You see what James is saying? We pray for physical healing. And God promises in the name of Jesus to heal. Not because prayer is a good luck charm. Not because praying is like hocus pocus or a magician's wand. It's way better than that. Because prayer puts us into the presence of Almighty God, where His kingdom comes and His will is done on earth as it is in heaven. I don't understand how that works, friends. But by the grace of God, through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, I believe that it's true. I was visiting with a pastor this past week, and he was asking me about my journey with cancer. How did you know that you had pancreatic cancer? I mean, what were the signs? I said, well, there really wasn't any. I said, it's kind of a sneaky son of a gun. I said, I had a little bit of abdominal pain, a little bit of back pain, but I thought, well, you know, maybe I pulled a muscle, or maybe it's an ulcer or something. And when the doctor said, inoperable and aggressive, pancreatic cancer, what do? You pray. You pray. Every day, more than 100 people with the 431 ministry praying. That was 18 months ago, my friends. This is the grace of God. I don't know why. I just know that God is good. And I was telling this pastor as he asked me about this. He said, it's a miracle. I said, yeah, it's a miracle. I said, if people don't believe in the power of prayer, if they don't believe in miracles, have them come and spend some time with me. Little Ariana. Right? I mean, the MRI she had, a little 10 years old. That's the age of my Nora. 10 years old. Why does she have to go through this? I don't know. I know that God grieves. I know that God weeps. But I know that God is in charge. And now she has an MRI, and it's barely detectable, this mass. And all I can do is say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. That's what we do. When we've got good news and bad news, we pray. When we're suffering, when we're sick, we pray. When we've sinned, we confess. And that's what prayer is, a confession of what we know to be true. And when someone we love and care about is straying from the fold, we don't just simply say, well, we still got 99, let's just write one off. I mean, that's what they do in the business world, isn't it? Just write off a bad debt? No, we pray and pray and pray and pray. We even call others. James says, what you do is you get on the phone and you call the elders, the council members, you call the worshipers, and you invite them to pray with you, to pray for you, and you pray with them and you pray for them. Prayer is no small thing. I mean, I look around and I see that here. I think about Denny. You know, I know that it's the Lord hearing our prayers and wanting to heal his beloved child, Denny. You know, not just so that we get more time. I remember visiting with Laura Colden about this. Is it wrong to pray, she said, for more life? I said, no. I said, I pray that every day. But I said, if all we're doing is praying for an extension of more earthly, temporal time, oh, how sad. But if we're praying that we get another breath, another day, another year, so that everything in this life is used for the glory of God. That's what life is here for. That's why you're here. That's why I'm here. Not so that we can
satisfy and keep asking for the passions of the flesh, James says, but so that we can lift up the name of Jesus, who is Lord and Savior. This pastor that I visited with this week, he says to me, "You got a lot of prayer warriors." And I said, "Yeah, I do." Paul says that. Put on the whole armor of God. And when he gets done, we sang those words in our opening hymn. He ends it with the same way that James does. I mean, everybody thinks that, well, Paul is over here and James is over here. They're both preaching the same thing. It's about what you believe and how you behave. It's about walking in faith every day. And Paul says at the end of the armor text, and pray, and pray, and pray, and pray. Sounds like James, or James sounds like Paul. But of course, they both spent time with Jesus. And that's what happens, isn't it, when we spend time with Jesus? This pastor that I visited with, he says to me, "You know who my prayer warrior is? My mom." He said, "I've never met anyone that prays like my mom prays." He said, "Years ago, I was out driving late at night. At 4 a.m., the Lord woke my mother up and said, 'You need to pray for your son. You need to pray for your son.' And that's what my mother did. She got up and she just started praying for me. At about 4:30 that morning, I had a car accident, the pastor told me. I should have died. I should have had a broken neck for sure. I should have been paralyzed for sure. I was in the hospital for a couple of months. It's just a miracle." I talked to my mom, and my mom says to me, "I guess it didn't do any good for me to pray. You still had an accident." And he looked at his mother, and this pastor said, "Mom, I should be dead. You don't think prayer matters? It means everything to God. I mean, what's Jesus doing on the cross? Praying? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He's praying to the Father, 'My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?' You see, in prayer, we can take it all to the Lord. Psalm 22 is a lament, but you know how that psalm ends. With praise, with deliverance, with victory, like Good Friday and Easter morning. That's why Jesus is shoving off from the cross, not just in despair, but he's proclaiming the truth. Salvation, healing, the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and God will raise them up. The prayer of the righteous one availeth much, James says. You know what he means by that? The prayer of the righteous one. First of all, who are the righteous ones? People that just work at being good? No. No, the Bible is very clear. The Word of God is very clear. Our righteousness is an alien righteousness. It comes by the grace of God alone. Luther called it the blessed or happy exchange. St. Paul says, "God made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him, we who know nothing but sin might become the righteousness of God." The prayer of the righteous, those who are in the saving faith of Jesus, availeth much, more than we can even begin to comprehend or to understand or to ask or imagine or wrap our heads around. Pray, 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 pray. We pray. And the more that we pray in this walk with Jesus, the more that we start to understand what Paul is saying, pray without ceasing, what Jesus was saying, thy will be done, what James is saying, the prayer of faith will save him. You see, this communal dynamic of prayer, when James ends it, he says, if someone is straying, you go and seek them, you pray for them, and the Lord will save his soul. Whoso? That's the beauty of how James ends his epistle. It's not just the one who has walked away from Jesus. It's the one who seeks the lost one that is saved in the seeking as well. It's not just about, well, I don't need to worry about anybody else's salvation as long as I've got the goods. I haven't got the goods, except by the grace of God. I haven't got the goods, except you have the goods. If anyone is straying, we need to pray. We need to seek them out. We don't just refer them to an inactive committee in the church. You know the name Corrie ten Boom? Corrie ten Boom wrote Tramp for the Lord. You know the movie, the book, The Hiding Place from Holland, and how during World War II, she, her sister, dad, they saved all kinds of lives by hiding the Jews. They ended up getting caught. They ended up, Betsy and Corrie ten Boom, the two sisters, at Ravensbrück, a Holocaust Nazi internment camp. And in this concentration camp, which was filled with mice and rats and lice and fleas, everything under the sun, right? All the reason in the midst of that suffering to do nothing but despair. But instead, they prayed and they prayed and they prayed. And then after the war, Betsy died in the concentration camp. Corrie said, my sister always had deeper faith than me, way more faith than me. Corrie became a tramp for the Lord. And as she traveled around different parts of Europe, she didn't talk about hatred and revenge and getting even. She talked about mercy. And she proclaimed the forgiveness that is found only in the name of Jesus. Everywhere she went, she proclaimed it. Salvation, healing in the name of Jesus. And then she asks in the book, Tramp for the Lord, she asks this question. I love this question. Hold on to this question. Is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? I don't know how many of you have driven a vehicle that has a steering wheel. I would guess a lot of you, not the little ones, but even the little ones might have a bike and they know how important it is to steer. Or if some of you, like me, know the days before power steering, or if you've had power steering and it went out in your car, I mean, we get spoiled, don't we, with power steering. And you need the steering wheel to take you everywhere you go if you're going to stay on course from A to B. It's essential. It's non-negotiable. It's every day. You can't move or go without it. Doesn't that sound like pray without ceasing? But what about that spare tire? Well, my car is 10 years old. How many times have I used my spare tire? Not once. I mean, they don't even put regular tires in anymore, right? They just put these little blow-up things to kind of get you from where you're at, or people with their smartphones now, they just call and say, come here and take care of my problem, because first of all, I don't know if I have a jack, and if it is, I don't know where the jack is at, and I don't know how this mechanism, this spare, works. In other words, it's seldom used. Do you see what Corrie ten Boom was asking? Do you see how essential this question is in the Word of God? In the Scriptures, is prayer your steering wheel? I would call it your power steering. The power of the Holy Spirit with sighs and groans too deep for words, who prays to the Father in the name of Jesus according to the will of God Almighty, Romans 8. And Jesus is in heaven at the right hand of the Father praying for us. My goodness, if
in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are praying for you, for me. Does it surprise you that Paul ends Ephesians 6 with pray, 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 pray? Does it surprise you that James, the brother of our Lord, ends his sermon, his homily, with pray, 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 pray? Whether you're celebrating or suffering, whether you're sick, whether you've just gotten a promotion, whether you're haunted by a sin, confess. Whether someone you love, maybe a child, grandchild, spouse, has strayed from the Lord, don't despair. Pray. And call your pastor and your council members and your brothers and sisters in the faith so that they can pray with you and pray for you. I want to close with a story. It's one of my most beloved stories about prayer. Ruby Hamilton, in her 50s, successful businesswoman. She married her husband when she was in her 20s, and then she came to saving faith in Jesus. And from that point on, she kept praying for her husband because her husband was not on the same page. Her husband wanted to build a company and make money and have stuff. She prayed and prayed and prayed. And then one day the Lord gave her a sense of peace. And then she got notification that her husband had been killed in a car accident. And so she stopped living for the Lord. Because Ruby said, what's the point? I prayed and supposedly God had answered it and my husband never came to faith in Jesus. Well, here's the rest of the story. 5 years earlier, on a road was a young man by the name of Roger Simmons. He had just gotten out of the military. He was wearing his army fatigues for the last time, and he had this big, bulky suitcase, and he was going home. And here he sees a car coming. It's a big, black, spanking new Cadillac. Oh, you'll never stop for me. Not for me. But he did. The car stops, and Roger says he invited me in. He said, where are you headed? Chicago? He said, well, not quite that far, Roger said. A little before there. He said, you heading home? He said, yep. He said, I've done my time in the military. I've served my country and my Lord, and now I'm going home. I'm excited. Well, they talked about several things as they were driving in the car. And then Roger says, it was like the Lord, the Holy Spirit laid on my heart, you need to share the gospel of Jesus with this man. So he did. He looked at his watch, he said, I only got about 20, 25 minutes until I get to my destination. I better quit fooling around and stop talking about little insignificant stuff. He said, mister, I don't know if you're going to like what I have to say, but I want you to know something that is important to me. My whole life is about Jesus Christ. God has saved me through the death and resurrection of Jesus, and all my sins have been forgiven. And so Roger shared the gospel with his driver. And then all of a sudden, the car pulls over. And Roger says, I just knew that he was going to give me the boot, that he didn't like me proselytizing or telling him about Jesus. But that's not what happened. Instead, he pulled over to the side, and on the steering wheel, he is weeping. And he says, I need to be saved. And Roger said, we prayed together. And he came to saving faith in Jesus that day. And when he dropped me off, he gave me his card, Hamilton Enterprises. Well, this young man, Roger,
got into business, and got married, and had a couple of kids, and he had to go to a business trip in Chicago, and so he dug out that old big clunky suitcase, and he found that little business card. He thought, you know what? He said, if I'm ever in Chicago, I should stop and see him. I'm going to stop and see Mr. Hamilton. So he goes to Hamilton Enterprises in Chicago, and the receptionist, he says, I'm here to see Mr. Hamilton. She said, that's not possible, but you can see his wife. So he goes up in the elevator, and then here is this woman in her mid-50s, and she says, my name is Ruby Hamilton. Did you know my husband? You were a friend of his? And Roger then introduces himself and tells the story. And she said, and what day was that? He said, oh, I've never forgotten that day. He said, it was May 7th. May 7th? She said, for years I prayed for the salvation of my husband. And 5 years ago, when he died in a car accident, I thought that all hope was lost. So I stopped living for the Lord. I stopped living for the Lord. And suddenly, Roger realized that the driver that had come to faith that day, you see, Ruby said to him, my husband never made it when he dropped you off. He never made it to Chicago. He never made it home. And Roger said, you mean he finally got home? He finally got home. In my father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, why would I tell you, Jesus says, that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And when it's prepared, I'm going to come again, and I'll take you so that where I am, you may be also. Dear friends in Christ, don't forget the question that Corrie ten Boom asked. Is prayer your steering wheel? Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit? Or is it a spare tire that you seldom, if ever, use, or only in an emergency? Anyone suffering? Pray. Anyone sick? Pray. Anyone celebrating, like Don and Peg Holton, their grandson is getting married today, got married today. We'll pray for them in our prayers tonight. Pray. Is anyone struggling with sin? Pray. Has anyone strayed from the fold? Pray. And seek them out so that we may be saved. The prayer of faith, it saves the one who is sick, and God will raise them up. The prayer of the righteous availeth much. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Word of God incarnate, we rise as we are able. Or
In Christ, you've heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation.
We believe in him and our heart with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit.
Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Build yourselves up on your most holy faith.
Pray in the Holy Spirit.
Keep yourselves in the love of God.
Look forward to the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ.
If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation.
Everything old has passed away. Behold, everything has become new.
God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, let us be reconciled to God and to one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. Uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Sisters and brothers, rejoice, mend your ways, encourage one another, agree with one another, live in peace. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
And as you are able, today and in the days ahead, share God's peace, God's saving peace, with others. You may be seated. You know that we are not passing the offering plate, so the basket is back there. I want to remind you that if you have in your heart from the Holy Spirit a desire to support the work of the Gideons, and I would encourage you to do that, whatever amount it may be, if it's in cash or if it's in a check, remember, make the checks out to Emmanuel Lutheran, but put in the memo, Gideon's, and then you can place that in an envelope or the checks by themselves in the basket, and we'll make sure that it gets to Gary, and we ask Gary, we ask you to share our love and our prayers with your brothers and sisters in the Gideons. Let's continue with our prayers.
Trusting through the power of the Holy Spirit in the goodness of our Heavenly Father, let us pray in Jesus' name for the church, the world, and one another. Dear Father, thank you for being good to us even when we complain and murmur. Thank you for prayer, anointing, and loving exhortation that calls us away from sin and back to you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You appointed 70 elders to ease Moses' burden of leadership. Give your church spirit-filled leaders. Keep them obedient to your word. Make them radiant with the love of Jesus. By their holy care, keep everyone in their charge safe from sin and evil. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for persecuted Christians throughout the world. Give them patience in suffering and hope in their darkest night. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant a spirit of charity and patience to this congregation. Remind us, even when it would be easy to complain of Jesus' words, "Whoever is not against me is for me." Help us to work together kindly and willingly. Make us eager to share the gifts you have lavished upon us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Remind our earthly leaders that they have been entrusted with a solemn obligation to care for their people, especially the poor, hungry, and oppressed. Give them grace to think, speak, and act according to your will for the common good. Help all of us to treat our neighbors with respect, kindness, and justice, so that we may live peaceably with one another. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless, we pray, the holy work of your beloved servant, Gary Froyland. Grant that his labor and the work of the Gideons may be fruitful for your glory. May your word be a lamp to the feet of all in need of your saving grace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Even a cup of cold water given in your name can be blessed refreshment to one who suffers. Grant this and more to all who are in distress, especially those we name before you.
We pray this day, Father, for Deb Spitzer, for Marianne Groven. We pray for Bob Harm's good friend Tom, for Letha, for Don, for Melody, for Randy and Eric and Jeremy. We pray also, Lord, for Dee Dee and for those that we're naming silently in our hearts, Lord. Hear the people that we are interceding for according to your will. And this day we want to pray your blessings upon Dylan and Kaylee Holton, united in Christian marriage. Lord, surround them and deepen them in your love for them, for each other, and the kingdom work that you call them to.
Restore them to health and hope. Grant a double portion of your spirit to all who minister to them. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Thank you, Father, for your faithful servants whom you have gathered into your kingdom. Fill those who mourn with tidings of comfort and joy. Fill us all with your steadfast love and mercy. Fill us with the sure hope that through the merits of your dear Son, you will welcome us with all the redeemed into your kingdom, where we will rejoice in your love forever. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. Incline your ear to our prayers, dear Lord, and answer them according to your most gracious and holy will, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please rise for the blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Our sending song, Lord, keep us steadfast in your word.
Son, and
Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.